Darkwraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Autumn Semester 2014. Lecture 16, delivered on October 20, 2014. The title of this lecture is Marginal Cost of Capital.
Today, the marginal cost of capital. I was going to hand out the worksheet, but I sent the print job upstairs and there is nothing upstairs, so I'm going to show it to you on the overhead. It's in your Resources and Materials tab on ReggieNet. You're going to fill it out, and then you are going to put the answers into Quiz 5 MCC, it's called. So just go to ReggieNet, and you can download a copy of what you're about to see here. Projector on. And I do apologize, but I'm going to walk you through this thing, help you out with getting some of the answers so that you know what to do here. And then by the time you're finished, you should be able to do this thing without breaking a sweat. But there is one thing that I do want to warn you about. Don't ask why you're doing what you're doing. That will confuse the heck out of you in this. This is a technical subject. I don't mean a subject. It's a technical skill, and it's the first of the ways that we look at whether or not to take on projects. Essentially, what we're doing here is we're saying, okay, let's lay out a set of projects that we could do. We've worked out what the ROIs are, return on investments for them, and how much it's going to cost to do these projects. And what we are now going to decide is, which ones of these projects should we go with? And like I said, this is a very technical thing. You just do this, this, and this, and get your answers, and then you move on with your life. Now, in the case of this company, and this is the document that you'll download as a PDF, and you just fill it out, print it out, get the answers, all the answers, and then in ReggieNet, there's Quiz 5 MCC. You just do that quiz, filling in the numbers. Now, the story here is that, and by the way, this is actually based somewhat on a real case. Numbers have been changed. And I'll walk you through what you're going to see. And then while you're working on this, I'll be talking with you as well. But Habitable Places has a capital structure that's 35% debt and 65% equity. The management considers this to be the optimal capital structure. In other words, whenever they bring money in, whether it's through debt, internally generated equity, externally generated equity, they want to always keep the balance 35% debt and 65% equity. And the debt can be cheap debt, expensive debt. The equity can be internally generated or externally generated. But they always spend a dollar. When they spend a dollar, they use 35 cents of debt and 65% of equity. That's how companies do things. Okay, so now, the net income for the year just ended is $1.2 million. The loan officer at the bank has set up the following schedule for borrowings. The bank is telling Habitable Places, you borrow up to $250,000, we're going to charge you 10% interest. You go over $250,000, whatever you borrow over $250,000 is going to cost you 12%. Now remember that we now have two tiers of debt. And the cost to the company of debt is not the same as what you see up there. Because remember that the cost after tax of debt is what we care about. And that is the cost of debt that the bank or the lending institution charges times 1 minus the company's tax bracket. That's the cost after tax of debt. So we now are able to figure out that, okay, there are two tiers of this debt. There, in this case, there's debt one after tax would be what the bank charges for the first tier of debt times one minus the tax rate. And then there's the cost of tier two debt to the company after taxes, which is the cost that the bank charges times one minus the tax rate. So we got those two formulas. Write those down, tattoo those on your buttock, because you'll need those for the rest of your life. Okay, not for the rest of your life, because someday you'll retire and you'll have Alzheimer's and you won't remember it anyway. So taking that off the table. Okay, so we've got debt formulas, and we'll use those in a minute. But now let's go back to the problem. Well, there are 40,000 shares that probably is best. Anytime you do math and you see a word problem, start pulling numbers out so you don't see the words anymore. Number of shares of common stock is 40,000. Okay, we got that. Now we have the tax rate of the firm, T, is 40%. Whatever that's going to use, we're going to need that for. The market price per share of this stock is $50. Well, that's nice. Just write that down. We have a dividend that was just paid. Now tell me, I'm going to put a subscript on this. What subscript am I going to put on that D? They just paid. Have you ever had Coca-Cola? They have regular Coke, they have Diet Coke, and then they have Coke. Thank you. I'll get the damn answer out of you one way or the other. This way, if it's now, we call that the zero, okay? But remember that formula we used for somewhere had a D1? Well, we have D0 now, so that's going to help us. $5, and they said something about a growth rate there of 9%. So G is 9%. Now, I taught math for many years in the monster classrooms at Ohio State, and when I taught word problems, the first thing I said is get the numbers out of the word problem and throw the words away. And that's what you're seeing me do here. And that's the best way to handle these word problems. Just pull the numbers out, and then that the rest of it, it can bite me. Okay. Oh, we had net income of 1.2 million dollars. I forgot that one. What else do we have here that might be worth our while? Oh, the float cost for new equity, that F, is 8% of the price that the stock sells for. That looks like all the numbers that I need. That looks like all the numbers I need. Okay. So. And then we look at this information about investment opportunities. Now, let me point something out. To the company, what was the most expensive debt to this company? No, the cost of debt. What's the most expensive cost of debt to this company? What is it? Not even 12%. It's 12% times 1 minus 0.4. What was it? The cost of the most expensive debt to this company was 12 times 0.14. 12 times 1 minus 0.4. So taking that in perspective, debt at its most expensive to this company was 7.2%. What's the cost of the money they actually earned? What is the cost of having shareholders? Do you see the vast difference between debt capital and equity capital? That you would see in any problem that's realistic is that equity capital, even the internally generated equity is the cheaper of the two equities. The cost of externally generated capital is even worse. But equity actually is terribly expensive. It's almost like, why would we even bother to have shareholders if they cost us almost 20%? That we earned that money. That money costs us 20% that we earn for those shareholders just to keep them there. And this is a cautionary tale to you, is that essentially you have shareholders if you decide you're going to go public. The question, first question that you ask yourself is, why the hell am I doing that? Because those shareholders make your net income extremely expensive because that belongs to the shareholders. So they are your worst cost. Well, not your worst, because you're going to find a worse one yet. Okay, so we now have the third component, cost of capital. We've got the cost of cheap debt. We've got the cost of expensive debt. Now we have the cost of our existing equity. Finally, we're going to do one more, the cost of externally generated equity. You've got all the numbers to be able to do it right there. Go ahead, work it out, and I want to hear you sound off. I'm going to just ask randomly, what do you get for an answer for this? It should be. Now, this is where, and I will caution you on this, you will have one of these on your second exam, a problem like this. And it's usually the big mistake is just you've done a calculator mistake. Make sure that you do that P minus F. In other words, the price of the stock minus 8% of the price of the stock in parentheses down there to get your answer. And that, like I said, that's where your most likely mistake is going to be in your calculations. So now I want you to talk to me. This is actually finding out what it will cost you to get new shareholders, to sell stock, to become have more people on you that are owners. What do you get for an answer? Want to try it?
19.92%.
You made the mistake. I actually did the calculation. Close that. $50. What's 8% of $50? It's $4, right? So what you do is 50 minus $4 in the parentheses down there at the bottom. I can't even see that from where I'm standing halfway up. Let me write that in red. No wonder you guys are having such a hard time. Here, let me do this. No, F is...
You wrote F as 8%
of
your
Oh. Yeah, $50 minus 0.8 cents is not going to do it. Yeah, so you're going to take 8% of $50. In other words, the brokers, before the company even gets that $50, the brokers are going to take out 8% of that for themselves. And so the company is not going to get any $50. It's going to get $50 minus the broker's cut. So the company doesn't get $50. It gets what? How much? $46. So in other words, that bottom there is no longer the $50 for existing shareholders. You've already sold them their stock. Your bottom down there in the second one is $50 minus $4, or $46. And once you do that, what do you get? Ew, boy. Ouch! 0.2085, which is 20.85%. Yeah, go ahead. It was up here. Let me show you. The flotation costs are 8% of the market price. In the world of venture capital, that's going to be a big, huge number. Even in the best of circumstances, it's going to be not much less than 8%. Look at what's happening here, though. Equity is ridiculously expensive capital. Your existing shareholders cost you a lot. New shareholders are going to cost you even more. That's just how it's going to be. Someday, you are going to be a wealthy, powerful woman of Wall Street. You will have a husband. He's very expensive. But then you're going to decide you want a new boy toy. He's going to want a Ferrari. Right? You'll buy it because he is, you know, with that little scruffy beard thing. Are you trying to do a soul patch? Yeah. Don't. Seriously. At least you're not Mr. Neckbeard here. Seriously, look at that. How far down does that go? No, don't. Tell him. No. Anyway, okay. There you go. The point here being that when you see these companies doing IPOs, we're going to go public. The first question you ask is, why? Why are you so hard up that you want the most expensive kind of capital there is? Don't you have friends at banks? Don't you have existing shareholders? You see, that's the problem, is you ask yourself that question, and sometimes all the hype Wall Street's giving you, all the hype the news media, the slobbers over the press releases from Wall Street, doesn't cover the question, why are you doing something that costs so much? And you are married. This is marriage. See that over there? That's your affair. That's your fling. That's your summer thing. That's your Facebook chat. The debt is. That's marriage. And it's the marriage from hell, because you can't get out of it unless you are willing to give up everything in the divorce. Okay? So that's the question you should always ask yourself. And finance people are going to tell you, it's an IPO. You should buy into this. Why should I buy into it? Because it's the stupidest thing you can do as a company, is to take on the most expensive kind of debt in the world. Equity. New equity is even worse than existing equity. The existing equity you can understand. They already did it. It's water under the bridge. Sunk cost, you're stuck with it. The new equity is a little bit more of a speculative thing. Anyway, so we got our costs. See, I've even given you some of the problem answers on the exam. Now comes the one that is a little more complicated. You see, because this is the one where that thing I told you about, how you don't just spend a dollar. You always spend a dollar that keeps your optimal capital structure. So if you are, in this case, Habitable Places has a capital structure that's 35% debt and 65% equity. That's been decided for us by the gurus who do the optimal capital structure thing. The managers consider this to be optimal, and net income is $1.2 million. Okay, so in other words, this company, coming down to the bottom line, has available for the shareholders $1.2 million. Now remember that most companies, well not most, but a lot of companies will give some of that to the shareholders as dividends. So once we find what the dividend is, we're going to have to take that away before we can talk about what money is available for actual reinvestment. So in this case, it says here, but it says in this case that there are 40,000 shares of common stock outstanding. Now, we look around, and they just declared and paid a $5 per share dividend. So right off the bat, we know that this company no longer has $1.2 million to reinvest in projects. It has $1 million. 40,000 shares times $5 a share, this company has just given up $200,000. So we know right off the bat that the equity that this company has is $1 million. Don't ever forget that. Always take away any dividend that I throw at you. Okay, now, from here, I'm going to switch it over here to this one so that we can go forward with this. Now, we're going to look around here, and we're going to see that the loan company has said, all right, if you borrow up to a quarter of a mil, we're going to charge you 10%. But if you go over a quarter of a mil, we're going to charge you 12%. So the first thing we're going to have to do is say, all right, our cheaper debt, I wish I could get those lights to be a little bit stronger. Is there any way to get that a little bit brighter? I don't know, maybe. Oh, this light here isn't on. Hang on here. Bear with me. Lamp up base. Well, that helped a lot. Yeah, that's good too. Okay. Yeah, maybe there. I can keep that. It's a little brighter. Okay. So, what we first are going to do is get the cost of our cheaper debt, the after-tax cost, which would mean that the after-tax cost of debt, I'm sorry, that's a K, not a D. I wrote D on the other one. The after-tax cost of debt level one is going to be 10% times 1 minus the company's marginal tax bracket, which if I look around here, where the hell is it? What's the company's marginal tax bracket? Do you see it? 40%? Is that what it says? Oh, there it is. Okay. Minus 0.40. So the cost of the first level of debt for this company is 6%. So it can borrow up to $250,000 and mix that with equity at 6%. The next cost of debt, and again, do this just like a mechanical exercise. Don't think too much about what you're doing. Just do it. The cost of the next level of debt would be 12% times 1 minus 0.40. So you see how the cost of debt jumped? And again, if we borrow that money, we'll mix it with equity money, our income money, and we'll spend on the projects. 7.2, is that right? Yeah, sorry about that. I got to move these over. That's 7.2. Okay, now the cost of internally generated equity. Remember, case of S will be D1 over the price of the stock plus G. Now remember to use D1. Don't use D0. In this case, I gave you what they just paid for a dividend, which was $5. Now what's the growth rate of their dividends, does it say? What was it? 9%? Really? Boy, they're generous as hell. Okay. So in other words, we're going to need to convert that by $5 times 1 plus 0.09. So if we do that, we're going to get the cost of the income, their money that they earned, of their earnings, as $5 times 1 plus 0.09 divided by the price per share of this stock right now, which is $50, plus 0.09, plus 0.09. Now make sure that you do this. Where you usually people make their big mistake, and usually, and sometimes I do too, is in doing this arithmetic here. $5 times 1.09 means the next dividend will be $5.45. And we're going to divide that by $50 per share. And then after that, we'll add 0.09. Not 9, 0.09. This is actual math now. And we're going to find out that the cost of their equity right now, the money, the owner's money that they've got from earnings, is 19.9%. Look how much more equity costs than debt. Do you see that? It's just a large amount more. Your owners are expensive. But they're not near. Yeah. Yeah, maybe that. Yeah, that's a good idea. There we go. Well, I have to back it out a little bit. That's good. Yeah, there we go. Okay, now we've got that money. But what if we still need more money than $1 million that's in equity? We'll have to go to the brokers and say, sell some stock. And in that case, we would have the cost of new equity is D1 over the price minus the float plus G. Now, if we look up here, we see that the float on the stock, what does it say the float is? I probably gave it as a percentage, didn't I? 8%. So in other words, if we sell stock, we won't sell it for $50 a share. Well, we won't get $50. The brokers will take 8% of that. 8% of $50 is $4. So what we'll have here in this case will be $5 times 1 plus 0.09 divided by 50 minus $4, 8% of the price. Because every stock share that those investment bankers sell for us, they're going to keep $4 and give us 46. See how that's going to make the cost of new equity even worse than the cost of existing equity? If you do that, $5 times 1.09 divided by, and put this in parentheses, 50 minus 4 if you do that, and then plus 0.09, well, smack me, 20.85. Wow. New equity, if we borrow money, or I mean if we have to sell stock, yeah, that's going to cost. Say that? Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I did, but I didn't write it there. Plus 0.09. Sorry about that. Just testing you to see if you're watching. Now, this is how the nitty-gritty. Just do the formulas and get these numbers. Now we're going to say, okay, here's the thing. We need money for projects. We need money for projects. So, first dollar for the best project we have. I'm going to take 35 cents of that cheap debt that I borrowed, and I'm going to take 65% of my earnings, mix them together, and invest it. And I'll keep doing that until I run out of the cheap money that I borrowed. Then I have to say to the bank, we're going to start borrowing money at the higher rate. Here's what we mean by breakpoints. Look, I can get $250,000 cheap 35% of every dollar I spend is going to be that cheap debt. So what would that mean in terms of how much actual total money would I be able to go through? Because the debt dollars are only 35 cents of the total dollars. And the way you do that is you say, okay, breakpoint one here is going to be $250,000 at 35% of the total. So in other words, what I am saying here is that if I can get $250,000 cheap, that would constitute, mean that I had spent a total of $714,286. You see what I did there? If 35% of every dollar I spend is debt, I can spend up to $250,000 of debt. Well, that means that if that's 35% of all the money I spent that was cheap debt, I would go through $714,000. Because the rest of it would have been the equity, the earnings money that I was pulling out of my pocket. So in other words, when I have spent a total of $714,000, that's when I have to go back to the bank and suddenly the cost of capital jumps on me the first time. Okay, now we're in that higher cost of capital, but I've still got these earnings. I got $1 million in earnings that I'm spending. Okay, when do I run through that? Because once I've run through my earnings and I'm already paying the higher cost of debt, that's when I have to go and sell new stock. So in this case, breakpoint two would be when that $1 million of money that I earned that I'm using as 65% of my total money is gone. And I have to go to the brokers and say, sell stock. So my second breakpoint would be $1 million divided by 0.65. And that's at 1,058,538. Yeah. Because they had $1.2 million that they earned, they gave $200,000 to the. So basically, they've got from their earnings. So at this point, at $1.5 million, a little more than that, they have blown all the money that they had earned, mixing it with debt along the way. Now, there's no breakpoint three here, because those are the only two things that are going to happen. They can now keep going. They're paying the higher cost for debt. They're having the broker sell expensive stock. And so now we can go over here and talk about the weighted average cost of capital. Now, this is where I stop. Well, I'm going to show you the formula. The weighted average cost of capital. I'm sorry, this is not the weighted. This is the marginal cost of capital. The MCC is going to be the weight of debt times the cost of debt plus the weight of equity times the cost of equity. I'm not going to do this for you, but I want you to know how to do it, and I'll say it. You started with cheap debt and cheap equity, so I'll show you the first one. So your first marginal cost of capital, your first marginal cost of capital is going to be the weight of debt in your portfolio, 0.35. What was the cost of the cheapest debt after taxes? Tell me. 6% plus the weight of equity in your capital structure times what was the cost of earnings, the existing shareholder. What was that? Go back and look for it. 19.9%. Do you see it? At first, we've got cheap debt and cheap equity making our total cost of capital. But then the next time, once we've run through that, and we will run through that, we have to go back and now talk to the bank for the next tier of capital of debt at 7.2%. But we still got earnings we're using. And we are going to do that. The marginal cost of capital will jump when we've run out of cheap debt. That was breakpoint one. Use a very straight ruler. Don't do what I'm doing here. Do as I say, not as I do. Seriously. Because the MCC, if you do that first one, 0.35 times 6% plus 0.65 times 19.9%, you get 14.34%. So in other words, the cost of my first $714,000 of money, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, was this. But then it's going to jump times. I screwed that up, didn't I? That's not 14, is it? What was the cost of the debt? 0.35, clear. 0.35 times 6% plus 0.65 times 19.9%. 0.35 times 6% plus 0.65 times 19.9%. I'm sorry, I screwed that up. What do you get for that number?
0.87.
What is it?
0.87.
Yeah, I thought there was something wrong with that. Wait, no. Really? 0.35, for God's sake, someone else do it. I don't trust that guy. He's dodgy. 0.65 times 19.9% is 15.04. The next one, 0.35 times 7.2 plus 0.65 times 19.9 is 15.46%. Now, obviously, it's going to jump. And you can get up to 1.5. You can get that much at that rate. And finally, I'll write the formula out for you. You are now using cheap debt, or the expensive debt, and you have now run through all of your earnings. So now you have to go to the brokers. And what did the brokers charge you for, what it's going to cost you for new equity? 5.5. And you'll find that that number is even worse, but now you can go on forever and ever. So the first $715,000, you get at 15.04% weighted average cost of capital. The next round of money, you're using more expensive debt, but you still got earnings left. You can get that at 15.46. But once you've used up your earnings, you're paying out the ass, the highest rate. Now, what you do with the investment opportunity schedule is you just take those and you rearrange them from the best to the last. So the best one here is Kansas City Sheltered Families. You'll spend $1.5 million, but you're going to get 18% out of that. So you draw in your first investment opportunity schedule out to there. Then you say, all right, if we get through that one, then the next one is 16% for Cedar Rapids Living Free Community. That'll be 16%, and that's going to get us 16% for $500,000. And what you're going to do is you're going to do those stepwise. Don't draw a line. They're just steps. If any project, any part of any project is underneath the cost of that project, that's where you reject. You take only projects that are completely above their marginal cost of capital. See this first project? It's obviously above all the costs of its capital. See the MCCs, how they're rising step, step, step? That first project is obviously above any cost that we could have for it. The second one, well, it looks like it's going to come in at 16% and it's going to cost us. But this last one, that might be a deal breaker on at least the third one or maybe the fourth one. So the entire trick for the payoff is to answer the question, which project should be accepted? You will draw these in with very sharp, straight lines, because if you mess it, you could actually miss where a project breaks and inappropriately reject it or accept it. But that's what you have to do for the quiz that we'll open up tomorrow. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.